Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 28 degrees. You're connected to CNN Network. WHCNN, repeater Flint. Good morning. 0100 hours. Cloudy. 28 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good morning. 0200 hours. Cloudy. 28 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good morning. 0300 hours. Cloudy. 27 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Connected to CNN Network. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good morning. 0400 hours. Cloudy. 27 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good morning. 0500 hours. Cloudy. 26 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good morning. 0600 hours. Cloudy. 25 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good morning. 0700 hours. Cloudy. 25 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. You're connected to CNN Network. Currently connected to CNN Network. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good morning. 0800 hours. Cloudy. 28 20 degrees. Good morning, 0900 hours. Cloudy. 21 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Connected to CMN network. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good morning, 1000 hours. Cloudy. 21 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good morning, 1100 hours. Cloudy. 21 degrees.
W8YRC Mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Sorry, come back to me. I didn't hear you.
WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Cloudy. 21 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Connected to CMN. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Good afternoon, 1300 hours. Cloudy. 22 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. WHCMN, repeater Flint.
KD8VAX.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 23 degrees. WHCMN, repeater Flint. Currently connected to CMN Network.
7, testing.
W8CMN, repeater Flint. Connected to CMN network.
KK7, TK testing.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 25 degrees.
Calling station. I copy you, but your audio is very low. KF8DPZ.
W8CMN, repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Connected to CMN network.
KF8XQN, clear.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 25 degrees. W8CMN, repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Cloudy. 25 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater Flint. You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Good evening, 1800 hours. Cloudy. 24 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater flip. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Good evening, 1900 hours. Cloudy. 23 degrees. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Good evening, 2000 hours. Cloudy. 23 degrees. W8CMN, repeater Flint.
CQ, 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 KR4, COI in Burgon, North Carolina, on Echo Link.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Can we eat all these tests?
Currently connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Good evening, 21 hours. Clear. 20 degrees. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater Flint. Good evening, 22 hours. Cloudy. 19 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater Flint.
This is Kilo Charlie 8, Charlie Papa Tango. Anyone listening? Kilo Charlie 8, Charlie Papa Tango. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Papa Zulu. What's going on, Don and Cliff? See, we're both up late again.
Hey, Cliff, how you doing? I get you had in the mega repeater, so yeah, we're up late again. I couldn't sleep, so I had to get up, play a little radio. KCHCPT.
I'm just trolling around on the internet. I'm waiting for my lady to get home from the hospital.
Okay, well, yeah, that's all right then. Yeah, it's good to hear you. And I know I talked to you the other day, so it was good to hear you again tonight. So, ain't much going on over here. Just relaxing and play a little radio. I figured I'd just get up because I couldn't sleep, so I got up anyways. But I got on HF. Nobody had HF at all. Everything is completely gone. Everybody's gone on HF. Nobody's even on it at all. So, maybe propagation, the conditions ain't too good today, tonight, maybe that could be why. But anyways, yeah, I'm just taking it easy, relaxing now, you know. Anyways, are you playing radio? I know the other day, I think he talked to me about, you know, again on Thursday nights, they had a net, Cliff, and they had people coming in around 5 o'clock on Sunday nights, and that you mentioned up. I think you would have mentioned that to me, right?
Yes, I did. So that's the State of Michigan's Amateur Radio Public Service Corps net that happens at 5 p.m. on Sundays. You can pick it up on this repeater, and if you can bring in. I forget the frequency, I think it's 443.625 in Mount Clemens. If you can bring in that repeater, you can hear it. There's another repeater in Warren, whose frequency I can't remember off the top of my head. It's another 70 centimeter. If you can catch any one of those three, you can listen to that because they tie it all together for that. And then on Thursday nights, on this repeater right here, at 147.2, at 7 o'clock every Thursday, except for the third Thursday of the month, they have a net that's going on. Everybody is welcome to join.
Very good. I didn't know, you know, with this repeater. I thought it was only selling the club that owned this repeater, which is many more clubs than the majority of clubs that own this repeater. So I didn't know there was to be slight repeaters around available. So this is a pretty good link, you know, for different places that you can make contact to other people in. And like you said, it's a wide world, probably a wide world spread. I mean, you probably get as far as South Pole. I mean, it could probably get as far as down south, like I was saying the other day, and down in Florida. But I'm sure that babies don't, I'm sure they hear us, but they don't respond, and they just don't get on the repeaters that often. Maybe they think they might get on it. They probably can't reach that far from Michigan, and I don't know.
Now, I'd have to go look them up, but I'm pretty sure there's one or two repeaters down in Florida that link into one of the networks that's up here. And it's mainly, I'm thinking it's mainly because the guy who owns them, you know, he's a bit of a snowbird. He's up here half the year and down there half the year, and he wants to talk to his buddies up here. But I think, I'm not sure, I'd have to dig into that one. Just like I know there's a network of repeaters up in the Upper Peninsula that I have never heard, unless I've gone into it via Echolink. It doesn't link with any of the ones down here, even though it's run by the same group of people, at least not that I know of. I've never heard it. That's not to say that it doesn't happen.
Very good there, Cliff. I was thinking the majority of the repeaters are linked together, I guess. You would think it'd be a lot more people to get into this leak and all that, and hear about more people from our state. But I think it got to do with a band opening, too, right?
Yeah, sometimes I would think, but some of these repeater networks, they're not RF. The linking is done over the internet. And I'm imagining that's how, like, for example, those one or two that I'm thinking about in Florida might be linked up here. That's how they do it, is that they do it over the internet.
Yeah, I don't have a computer. I had a computer, a laptop years ago. It was an obsolete laptop, and it was one of those IBM, the old ones back years ago where they used the Venom kind of the IBM ones. So I had to throw that away because it was obsolete and couldn't get on the internet at all with that.
WHCMN, Repeater Flint.
Now, that's unfortunate. Ever thought about getting another one, something a little more modern?
Yeah, I might have to one of these days because, you know, when you get an internet, you get different links for different repeater sites and areas that you could probably look at all the information on the internet. And I'd like to get a computer or a laptop just so I can get all the information I want on different repeater sites, you know, and where they're leaking it too. So my advantage is to do that someday in the future and get another computer, you know, a laptop or something. So it'd probably help a lot too if I did it, you know.
KFADBZ. Yeah, I'm looking at the website for it right now, and not seeing the repeaters I was thinking of. So maybe I was mistaken, and I'm conflating it with something else that I saw somewhere else. So with that, but yeah, you can get a decent laptop these days for like, you know, $400-$500. You know, as long as something like that is within your budget.
You gotta watch that about that because we gotta maintain what we have and spend within our means. But even though we go out, being my wife and that, we spend within our means not to go out too much because prices of the menu nowadays at the restaurants they've gone up since last year, and years ago they was so much money, you know, go out to eat. But now, you know, you go out to eat, so much money. But we try to spend it without me, so I can't really go by budget. Buy that laptop. I think she probably won't like that idea if I did that for myself. And that, you know, so you know, when you're married, you know, your money comes together. You know, and when you're married, you have to compromise a little bit too. You know.
Yeah, I hear you on that. You know, my lady and I have basically gone through the same thing, having to compromise and stuff like that. She doesn't complain about me buying radios and stuff like that, or even computers when we need them, because, you know, from her point of view, it's a necessary expense, and as long as I don't break the budget doing it, she won't say anything. And I'm pretty much the same way with stuff that she thinks we need. I'm like, okay, as long as we didn't break the budget, we're good.
I want a new radio, and if I had the money available, they'd be okay with her, they'd be okay with me then, because I, for one, in the hobby, she won't have a license or a ham radio license at all, but I do. She could talk on a radio with me, but when I'm licensed, there would be a second party that she could talk about. Anyway, she probably won't care about Bob being on the radio, but I don't have to have it on the radio. I got so many of them now there, look clip.
Yeah, I hear you on that. It's hard to not collect a pile of them because, you know, they come up with something. It's like, ooh, I want that. And you gotta watch out for the shiny because sometimes the shiny will hit you right in the wallet.
Something very interesting that I'd like to have. I see something in the manual that we would like to buy for in that. Not the manual, I mean, into that catalog. Then I would see that what they had that catalog, if something catches my eye, then I would definitely buy it. And if it breaks my wallet to take money out of my wallet, then I would regret it later because I know I'm not going to have no money when I buy that radio because radio costs too much money nowadays. And they are very costly. Radio's a lot of money when you buy one anyways. If it's handheld or mobile, a radio or a fixed station that I have, I'm talking to you now, then it would be a lot of money to buy a new one nowadays because I'm sure they've gone up so soon.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, definitely. Because right now, you know, my setup is I got two mobiles that's fixed installed. Because one of them is strictly analog, and I keep it in the lower parts of the bands. You know, it's 2 meter and below, and the other one I keep it up in the 70 centimeter and doing digital with it. And between the two of them, there's about $600-$700 here just sitting in the radio themselves. And we're not talking about the power supply, the antenna, or nothing like that. And it's still expensive.
I bought this handheld years ago at Michigan Radio. Well, it used to be Michigan Radio, but it no longer exists anymore. It's now available where it used to be. A nice new all transceiver, six-meter band radio I bought there. That's a big station radio. And then I bought Yazoo radio with a new band there, which was nice to have. But now I got programmed that thing all over again, unless it's frequencies are still in there, and I messed it up somehow, pushed the wrong button when I did. And now I can't get the frequency back on that Yazoo.
And you don't have a computer that you can hook up to it to check its programming that way, do you?
What was the question again there, Cliff?
And where you're at right now with that radio, you said that that you messed up and you think you have to go back through and reprogram it. You don't have a computer to use to go through and program it with, do you?
I wish I did. I used to have one of those computers. I think they were all both IBM computers, a laptop and a computer with a tower. I had a desk there in a other side of the room there with a computer on top of it, and then a tower with it, you know, one of those big computers. They were huge back in the day when they used to have them, and then you had your printer and all that too right beside the computer by that tower and all that. Well, I don't have that anymore, so they're both gone, so I have no computer to tell someday. Hopefully I can afford it. I can invest in the one. Maybe someday I would be able to, but I don't have one now, no.
That's going to make straightening that radio out a little harder, doing it all from the front panel, because it is definitely easier doing it when you're using a computer and some custom programming software.
Now, I have a manual for it. And I looked at today, and I found the manual. Would that help me with the manual?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, going in there with the manual, you'll be able to check each and every one of your programmings in there that way. But like I said, you're going to be doing it from the front panel of the radio and with the mic, because I imagine that's where your number pad is.
I was just wondering, you think the all the frequencies that were in it before, you think it's still permanently restricted still? If I look at the manual, do you think I can figure it out that I wouldn't have to program to put the frequencies in there? You think they'd still be in there, dude?
Well, as long as you didn't do a factory reset on the radio, because you can do that from the front panel, too. As long as you didn't reset it, everything that you had in there before should still be there.
Okay. I think I probably can program it. Well, it's already programmed, but all I do is just get it back running again and get all the frequencies that are in it restored again. And then I look in the manual, and then I can probably get it going again and bring it up again and all the frequencies still be in. I think I'm able to do that, yeah.
Well, to me, it sounds like a fun little project to do. It's just another way to play radio.
I don't think it'd be complicated, Cliff. I think it'd be pretty easy, you know, just get it back running again, you know. And some of these other frequencies, all these other numbers, I don't know where they come from, but All these overs they keep on that radio, it says, I don't know about them, but anyways, once I get all the frequencies back, then I'll be happy with that then. But anyways, tomorrow I might get on HF and see what's on HF later on tomorrow morning or afternoon. And do you have HF privileges, Cliff?
Right now, just AM single sideband. As far as 10 meter goes, from 28.3 to 28.5 megahertz, and AM only, and no FM. And the one radio I have here that does get into 10 meter only does FM. It doesn't have the circuits in it for AM or anything like that. But I can go down and play around in 6 meter too. This one does that just fine.
Tell me, I have a all-mode transceiver 6-meter radio, and I played with that years ago, and I bought that disc radio, and I kind of have a lot of fun on that, but I can't do it in an apartment, I can't put it in front, but there is some way, and always a way, about an antenna that you can have in an apartment. There's always a shortcut to do that, though, for 6 meters. I don't know if you have to have a wire or some kind of special antenna, but there's a way, you know, to do in that place 16 when the bands are open. I was just wondering, has band been open lately on 6?
I'm not all that sure about that. You know, I've always got, at least have a repeater, a 6-meter repeater that I'm listening to on that one side, always on, and I don't hear a lot of activity on it. You know, and some people have told about it, like, that repeater's still there and working. I'm like, yes. But I haven't heard a whole heck of a lot out there. And so, you know, it's like I couldn't really quantify, you know, just how much activity is actually happening or not.
It's a magic band, Cliff, and it's just a matter of time when the bands are open. When it does open up, you'll know that when it is open, there's a solar flare opening, or if the band is open on HF, the band will be open on 6 meters then because there's a solar flare. The solar flare, usually, propagation of the solar flare would be good for 6 meters because there's a lot of... they call it anodic, and I can't remember the name of it, but some kind of solar flare up in the sun that causes the bands open up where the propagation is right for it. Like, this is a great when the bands open on 6 meters. That's when the band is really open for a long time in 6 meters. I think it was a solar flare.
Well, maybe one day I'll have the time to play radio on 6 meter when there's a flare going overhead and the aurora is big and all that, and, you know, see if I can't make some fairly serious long-distance contacts.
Yeah, like I said to you the other day, I should have had fun making contacts on that band. I even got queued out cars from them, too, on 6 meters from Alaska. I made a contact in Alaska on 6 meters. That's when the fan soy flares are really, really hot on 6 meters. I can't believe it while I was here. I even hear in Scotland on there, too.
All right, that's really cool. That is really cool. I like that.
I didn't think it would go that far, but anyway, that antenna I was in, all these antennas, for the parades that I had up north. That's when I was up north. My parents used to live up there. And my dad, when he was still alive, he passed away about 10 years ago. And he helped me. He says, well, son, would you like to have a radio station down in my workshop? And I said, yeah, Dad. Well, you get to start to buy stuff that you need, and I'll help you out, he says. And we'll put a foundation, dig a hole in the ground outside there by the house, and then we'll put it by the concrete mix, and then we'll put it inside a hole there. And he put the screws upside down so he could put the plates on it, you know. And then after that, I put about 3 sections of a tower that he helped me put on. You know what he did? My dad was strong. I couldn't believe he did it, but he did it anyway. I had all 3 sections of the tower on there. He went up top of the roof and took a rope to tie around the tower there. And he went on top of the roof. He pulled that thing right up on his own. I couldn't believe that, but he did it. That tower was heavy to pull that tower up like that, you know.
Yeah, it is. Putting up a 30-foot tower ain't no joke. Way, way, way back when I was young and dumb and all that other stuff that goes along with it, before I'd settled into having a career somewhere. And I was out of work looking for a job, and so they hooked me up with this AV security company. And that's when I started standing up towers. And there's a couple I put up back then that are still standing today. They are in the back lot of the old GM Parts Slavonia building. That's on 96 between Newburgh and Levin Road on the south side of it. And it's a couple of hundred footers. And the one at the west end of the building, we were pulling it up with a car and some rope and me starting it from the ground by lifting it by hand. And I got about halfway down its length and was getting ready to start climbing up on its own from pulling it with the rope. And that's when the rope broke. I felt that one. It drove me to my knees. That tower landed right on me.
That right. Were you okay after that when that came on top of you there? When it broke like that? Oh, what? Did you have to go to the hospital too?
Well, nothing broke, and I got very lucky in that my head went in between the steps on the side of the tower. And because I was fighting it when it let go, because I was trying to lift it, it didn't hit me as hard as it could have if it had just simply dropped. And I think the reason nothing got broken was because I was holding it, and my arms basically just came down and stopped it once, you know, they got to a certain point, and they kind of bounced off my shoulders. I was sore for weeks afterwards. But, I mean, I did go and get checked out. I got x-rayed and everything like that. Nothing was broken. But, man, I was hurting.
Thank God for that there, Cliff. You were very fortunate. Individual not get severely hurt like that, you know, and it was your shoulder. Yeah, that would hurt for a long time. And I'm glad you feel it. I don't know, but I tell you what, my dad, I couldn't believe what he did. When I saw what I saw, my eyes were wide open. I said, man, he pulled that tower right up as if it was nothing when he pulled it up like he did. He had to put some elbow muscle in that when he did that, you know, when he lifted up like he did. But he did it, and he got it up there, and I was so happy. He screwed the screws down the on top of that those bolts of that, and screwed it down so they could tear the tower right down after that when he was done. That was it. So, anyways, I have a I had a Ringer Ranger on top of the tower. That's for the 2 meters. A 5-element Yagi for the 6 meters. And I had a wire antenna. It was called I can't remember, a G5RV. That's what it was called, G5RV. I had that for the HF.
Yeah, I've heard of those. They're nice ones. My lady just walked in the door, and I got to go give her a hand. Give me a few minutes there, Don. I'll be right back. KFA-DBZ.
All right, Chris. Cliff, I talked to you a little bit there. KCCPT. This is KCCPT. Who's up, Big C? Not full quantity. It got a little background noise on it there. My friend, the name here is Down Dasker, November, and then the other gentleman was named Cliff, but he don't live too far from me. That's why I could hear him pretty much. You got a little noise on you, but anyways, I do copy it, but a little noise on you. Where are you located at? QJ2, KC62. Name here is Down Dasker, November.
You at the hotel,
remember?
I'm in Clio, over here.
You in Pennsylvania? How many can Pennsylvania call sign with a 3 in it?
It's a Vanity call sign.
Okay, what was the question again?
Kilo 3, Echo Hotel November,
Okay, very good. I did hear the Kilo 3 something, I guess it gets a rest of it. Anyways, what's your QTH?
I'm in Clio, I'm on 25 watts.
How far is that from Detroit?
Clio is about 10 miles north of Flint.
Okay, very good. Well, you're coming in a little bit better at that time. What's your name there, by the way? And anyways, I was talking to Cliff and that, so he'll be back a little bit, so maybe we have a round table there going on.
Oh, my name's Ben. Sorry to interrupt. I didn't hear him on frequency. I should have listened a little bit longer.
No. Don't fear. Don't say that you're sorry. I mean, hey, I want come on in. You know, head around the table and have a conversation with us. That'd be good. You mean you're welcome. You know that there. I can't remember their name, but tell me your name there next time around there. KCACBT. Okay.
KBFW.
That's you, Cliff? KCACBT.
Good evening. 23 hours.
You know, it's Jeff. Now, Ben, I don't know if you're aware, but there is a couple of repeaters that are close to you if you're in Clio. Not sure if you're aware, but you can go to WACMN.net and get a list of the repeaters that are linked in here. KBFW, our name is Jeff.
Okay, very good, Jeff. Would you like to talk to that gentleman and get the information to him about the different repeater mode sites for that? I'll just stand by KBFW.
Yeah, Ben, did you copy that, WHCMN.net?
The last
W8, W8
or
W8? W, Whiskey, the number 8, Charlie, Mike, Nancy, W8CMN.net.
Roger, I copied W8CMN.net. I'll check it out.
Sounds good. Yeah, your audio is a little light, so I had to turn the volume up. But, okay, carry on. I just wanted to give you that information. KBFW.
Hey, Jeff, thank you very much. I'll just stand by for Cliff when he gets back. Cliffy, back again, KZCBT, standing by.
Yes, I am, Don. I am back. I just sat back down, and I'm ready to go again. How you doing there, Jeff? Glad to hear you out here. And hello to the other guy.
I'm not sure he's coming back, Jeff, but anyway, the other guy, I can't remember his name, but he was outside Flint, the other guy, and Jeff had some information on the recite of the sites of different repeaters, or what the repeater was at. Anyways, he was giving some information to the guy, the gentleman there outside Flint. But anyways, he got the cross sign, and that's what he got written down, so he got the information he wanted.
W8CMN, repeater Flint.
Well, that's good to hear. I hope you took note of that website as well, because you can look it up on your cell phone if you want. As long as your cell phone can get on the internet and use a browser, you can look all that information up yourself on your phone.
Yeah, news about that there, Cliff. I don't have those kind of phones, iPhones. Me and my wife uses the consumer cellular, the flip phone, so that wouldn't do that for that kind of phone anyways.
All right, copy that. I was just saying, you know, there's, you know, multiple ways to access that information.
It's a good idea, though. I mean, if I had a phone like that, I would have done that, but, yeah, I wish I did. But one of these days, maybe we'd get a phone like that. And I talked about why to buy them a phone like that. Maybe we'll buy one together. Anyways, like I was saying about the repeater, we had different repeaters up north, too, where my dad and mom lived. They lived up there in Farwell, Michigan. That's where they were located at. That's where my dad had retired many years ago, and he started his home foundation up when he built it himself many years ago. And he was a tool die maker for Judd Motors in downtown Detroit. And he knew pretty much a different, he pretty much knew a lot of stuff in that. But like I always say, you're a jack of trades, right? So he had a lot of them. He had a lot of knowledge, too. So when he built this place back in the early 70s, and he got all built and done in the 80s, I think it was, early 80s or late 80s, anyways, my dad and my mom, they both moved back. Actually, they moved out here in Detroit. Years ago, they were here. Many years ago, they raised all four kids here in Michigan when they did. But anyway, they decided to, when they retired, they were going to move up north. So the house was completed and done. So my dad did a lot of work on that home. He took vacations all week just to get that home done and accomplished in that. So finally he retired at home, he got his dream came true, and he moved up north after that. So after he retired, that's what he did. And I, years ago after that, he put a tower up for me. I've got all these antennas on the towers, and I play radio almost every day up there because the tower is about 30 feet high, like you said there, Cliff, so it was a pretty good setup.
W8CMN, repeater.
Yeah, that place up north sounds nice. Maybe some point in a few years I can think about doing something like that. Yeah, 30 foot on a tower, that's a pretty good height. You get some decent range out of it for the local and stuff like that, and it definitely makes it easier to reach a lot of repeaters. I know taking mine from 20 to 30 feet up definitely gave me a boost in everything.
Yeah, oh yeah. What are you using right now, by the way? Are you using a wire or use a... You know, do you have a tower or some kind of antenna that you use for your radio now there, Cliff?
Currently connected to...
Yeah, actually, I've got the 32-foot-tall mast light secured into the ground and fastened to the house, and on top of that is a Alpha Antenna UV6, which apparently really does do what they say it does. It works in the 6-meter, 2-meter, 1.25 meter, and 70 centimeter. That's what I'm using right now. And the tip of the antenna is just about 40 feet up.
You're doing a really awesome job from where you live at, but also you don't live too far. You're like my neighbor. You hop and jump in the skip, you know where you're at. And I think you said that you live in Clinton Township, right?
W8CMN.
Yes, I do. Right around the neighborhood of about 16 and Gratiot. I'm only a couple of miles north of you. We could simplex real easy.
Good. And I have the, it's called a SMART. I don't know if that's a simplex or not. SMART. As they call it, smart. I don't know, it's a smart repeater, they call it. So I have a simplex on this, but anyway, so we can just stick on here and stay at a repeater and have the crew sold like they are down, that'd be fine. If anyone wants to jump in, they get in there, and more welcome to. Well, anyways, I just did a lot of contacts on that all the time, 6 meters, the Riga Razor, Chris Kratu, the, G5RV, I mean, that G5RV did a wonderful job for the wire that I had on that tower. I had three towers on one tower, and I was impressed how well all of it worked. It's so good. I put about, I don't know, I had a amplifier, I hooked it up to the HF, it worked very good. And I tell you, I was so impressed, late at night, you know, the six mirrors, I had six mirrors on. Sometimes they came on late at night, you know, people, you hear people talking then. Sometimes in the afternoon, it all depends, you know, when the bands are open, when the conditions were perfect. You hear people talking on six mirrors, and you start hearing them coming in. You know, I got in contact down in Florida, places like that. But anyways, like I was telling you, when the bears are open, when it flares up, and that soil flares, starting on six mirrors, well, it just roars right out. I mean, it just comes right out, and you get a lot of contacts. And I hope something that happens to you, Cliff, you know what I'm saying? But you probably know what I'm saying anyways. But, you know, you have a lot of fun when you have all these contacts with different states and outer states, you know, oversight the outside of the world, too, we hear sometimes, too, you know, when a band's open and sick things like that.
W8CMN, repeater.
Yeah, I haven't had the pleasure of that happening to me just yet. I haven't heard anything over any great distances. But I don't have any trouble reaching three or four of the repeaters that are not too far away from us here. Like I said, there's that one that's down at Davison and the Lodge, and then there's one just across the river in Windsor that I have no trouble getting into, and then there's a couple, three, four a little further out. I'm not sure I'm getting into them or not because I never get anything back.
I keep it going, Cliff. You'll get somebody anyways. I've been having fun since day one of 16 years. The two meter banner and HF, all three of them. I just had so much fun up there up north. I should have missed it though, Cliff, you know, because I had a nice, awesome power. And my dad went, you know, when I had a rotor, I had to buy the rotor, had to buy the tower, had to buy the spin. I spent a lot of money in it. I don't know how much money I spent on all that stuff, all the equipment that I invested into that. Had to buy the rotor so that the antenna turns for the 6 meters, so I could hear them better. When the antenna turns, you can hear them a lot more clear when you have a rotor and you can turn any way you want, any direction you want, south, east, or west, or north, you know. It comes pretty good after you have that antenna right on them. You can hear them so clear after that, as if they were talking the same room.
W8CMN, repeater Flint.
Yeah, that's a project for the future for me for 70 centimeter and 2 meter. I've got a little Yagi sitting here that I still got to get the rest of the stuff for. I still need to get a rotor for it and all that stuff, and I got to get it mounted and things like that. And then to meet building code around here, there's a few things I got to shuffle around. That hopefully I will get done sometime later this summer before, you know, the year gets out of control on me like it did last year. Man, I'm looking forward to getting that up because, you know, being able to point it, like you said, everything works a lot better. There was a guy that I simplexed with because he had a really, really good beam set up. And 16 miles away, he pointed it at me, and he sounded like he was sitting here right in the room with me.
What was his location? Not too far from you, or was it a little ways out?
He's about 15, 16 miles away. I remember his call something. Let me look him up right quick.
Okay, I'll stand by in case you need to.
KFADBZ. Yeah, I got him. He's located over west of Woodward. Down between 11 and 12 mile road. So yeah, he's about 16 miles out from me, and yeah, we were simplexing like we were sitting in the same room.
I have to admit, that's pretty good for simplex, Cliff. Simplex is good, you know, when you can hear somebody in the same room, like you said. And, boy, that's a pretty good jump for simplex. That's pretty awesome. That's all right. That's great. Do you hear him now and then sometimes now? Do you talk of it every now and then when you hear him? Or if you do hear him?
Yeah, Yeah, I do. The antenna he was using when we were doing that, he's got a big old 10 or 11 element Yagi that on a rotor up on a Mass Piper Tower, I don't remember which. And he can swing that thing around and point it in any direction he wants. And basically, he just pointed it in my general direction, and boom, we were in the same room.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good work that he's doing, working you that far away and on Ziplex. That's awesome. Anyways, I wanted my wife to get involved with ham radio, but I said to her, well, you know what? I said, her name is Beth, by the way, and I said, you know what? If you pass your test, your exam, and you have multiple choice, A, B, C, D, on a computer, you can't have that Yazoo. I'll give it to you for free if you pass it. I said, okay, she agreed with me on that, but she never got the time name and studied the test in the book yet. So I don't know what time. I don't know if she ever will, because I don't think she has any kind of a desire of, studying the book there. And me giving her that radio, that would probably going to give it to her when she takes her exam. But I don't think she's interested anyways.
And that sort of thing's entirely up to her. My lady started studying for her tech. And basically, it's just, it's usually you have to study a lot before you go and take the exam, because, you want to make sure you pass it, because you got to pay to do that part. And, maybe your lady will, maybe she won't. I'm hoping mine does. And then after that, be able to talk a little bit further apart and stuff like that, because sometimes she and I are headed in opposite directions on the road.
Yeah, maybe she will, maybe she won't, like you said, but, I don't want her just thinking that, well, hey, ever since I'm a ham, she has to be a ham, too, don't she? Don't have to be, nothing like that. She don't want to be a ham out there. I mean, she got her hobbies, I got mine, that she has interest in. And that's okay. It's all right. I can see, understand how she feels about that, Anyways, I hear, in the past on your secret repeater, I hear that usually your keypad called up your wife out of a keypad, and you could use that phone, on your keypad when they're talking, and then he usually calls her up, if it's a husband or wife, calls her up on his radio, and her phone rings at their house. And then you hear them talk on the radio then, That's interesting how they had that set up that way from different repeaters.
Okay, now that is a neat trick. That sounds like that ship-to-shore telephone stuff that they have for the sailors and stuff. Talking on the telephone over the radio.
That happened many times with the club I belong to, the Sika Club. That happened many times. I've heard people talking on the radio, or they're making contact to their wife on the phone at home, and she's talking the phone to him on his radio while he's talking to her on the phone with his radio. So I found that very impressive. But I never tried it, I never did, never will, but I don't know if they still have that or what, but I'm sure they do.
Well, I do know they still have ship to shore for maritime stuff. I don't know about ham. They do have something else new out there that requires some specialized hardware, and it's hams over IP. And it requires some kind of Cisco phone or something like that to do it. I haven't dug into it that far yet. But, the guys I'm running with, like 10 or 15 of them have already gone that route. So, sounds to me like it's another version of the telephone over the radio kind of thing.
It's pretty neat how it works. It really is with how they set that up on the repeater. Yeah, you got to make sure you just dial the right dials on the front of your keypad and to make it work. And there's a certain way of doing it to that repeater reading in response. responding to what you want it to do. And then it sends a signal right to the phone who you're talking to. What thing is impressive about how they set that up like they did. There's another Peter that years ago I talked to some guy in Australia on that Yazoo I talked to you about earlier, that all the frequencies had gone, and on that handheld. I don't know if I talked to him or someone else talked to him, but I heard some guy in Australia, and I had a link on this repeater, and the repeater is on top of the Renaissance Center. I can't remember what the name of that club is.
You know, that's a good question, because that's not coming to mind with me either. You know, there's a couple, three machines that are up on top of that building that I'm aware of. But I don't know who all owns what, you know what I mean?
I don't know either. I know one that, I can't remember the name of the club that has that repeater, that kind of repeater, but it doesn't get out. It leaks to it overseas. And I can't believe that did run that far away to Australia. That's the other side of the world. And I was impressed with that. You know, I really was. I don't think I talked to this guy on Australia on that radio I have. Maybe I did, and I did, but I know someone else was talking to him. I know that. But that's a very interesting thing in the setup, how they had that set up like that. You know, it really is. Anyways, some guy I know, VA3XPN, his name is Dan, he lives in Canada. You had to go over the Blue Water Bridge to see him. And I saw, he was a good friend of mine. I met him on the radio, you know, and talked to him, and I went to his house. He was in my place over here, the apartment here. This when I was single, when I went to his place, I stayed at his house for a week. We played radio all the time, and I went downstairs to this basement, and we played radio there. And he had a unique, nice radio, and he linked on to different places and different states too himself. Although he didn't have HF privileges yet, but he would link out to different states that he'd get on his 2 meter and do it. And I can't really remember how he did that, you know, when he did do it. And the friend of mine is named Dan. He had a nice radio station. Yeah, it really was.
It sure sounds like it. Unfortunately, you know, for me, you know, like you, it's like I have limited space. Yes, I'm in a house, but there's still only, you know, so much shelf space and places you can tuck things like that. And I can't do the big old Radio Shack anymore. I just don't have the room for that. And code won't let me have more than the one mast pipe or a tower and one tripod on the roof. So kind of limited in my options here. But that's all right. I got more than enough to play with.
There you go, Cliff. That's all that matters. You can handle a long time for years. You can look back when you first started. You did have equipment when you first started with equipment. And it starts accumulating, you know, after so many years being a ham. I've accumulated a lot of equipment myself in my lifetime, and I have to admit one thing, Cliff, it was a lot of fun. My first got my first radio was a Radio Shack handheld.
I wouldn't go knocking those Radio Shack radios. You know, I never did. When I was doing 11-meter, I used quite a few of their units because they were less expensive than Cobras and things like that, and to me it seemed like they worked just as good. I cannot remember who used to actually make them for Radio Shack, though, because they didn't manufacture them themselves. They just put their label on them and sold them. And for the life of me, I cannot remember who made them. The handhelds, in a lot of cases, were coming from, like, Unit in a Midland or Human Cobra. And I've got one that was actually made by Cobra right now. But as far as the mobile units, I can't remember who they had making them.
Yeah, I couldn't remember to my knowledge either there, Cliff, but I have an HTX 202 radio. I had the 144, which was UHF. I think it was a 144 back years ago. And when I was taking my class over at the technician license. They don't want that, right? You probably hear nobody on the UHF anyway. So once you get the 202, you hear everybody checking in repeaters, you hear people talking and all that. So get your radio next time when you get your license. Talk on that radio, because that's radio that you really want. And that's the only one that you will want for the radio station. I could buy that one on. So I got that one. And I was working on it today. I plugged in the charger and charged it up, the radio. And I don't have the frequencies in there. Something happened. It was an ER. It shows the beef. I'm sorry, it shows the ER. So the ear, it's called ear something, I think. I don't know. And there's no frequencies. It just totally just blanked out one day. And I was playing it one day. And all the frequencies are probably still in there. I'm still programming in there, but I have to get it back again. Just like a Yazoo.
Well, on that one, I do wish you the best of luck, because sometimes when a radio tells you it's got an error, it just might be done, which would be very unfortunate. KFA-TPZ.
A friend of mine named Jim, W1IK, called you. But anyways, that one time, and I did it again a couple years ago, and I handed the radio to Jim, and he worked on it. And he got working again. I says, I wasn't impressed. I didn't think he would have got working, but he did. He's a well, good, known technician, as well as a good technician he is. I can tell you, he's a really good, he knows a lot about radios, and being a good technician like he is, and fix radios like he does too, like he fixed mine. And he got all the frequencies back on the air, and I couldn't believe that I got all of my frequencies back restored again when he got back on in the radio. But all the frequencies were even not gone. They already restored in there. Somehow or some way he did something. I don't know what it was to my knowledge, but he got that thing going and had no problem at all about getting on the repeaters and then talking that radio.
Well, then it sounds like it might be time for you to pay your friend a visit again and get that thing up and running again, just so we can all hear it out here.
Probably program that handheld, the HTX 202, with a frequency on that radio. Well, it was a 2B radio. I see why not. And put that, this frequency in there, you know. But I had a lot of fun with it, you know, all the years I had. That was my first one I bought. Well, actually, it was the UHF one I bought first before I got the second one. I bought the other one back in UHF, and I traded for the HTX 202. So the Radio Shack salesman says, yeah, sure. So I gave him that the UHF one, and then he gave me the VA job. I said, well, thank you. I don't know. I can't remember if I had to pay some money on that radio or not, but I don't think I did. But anyways, you used to have a tower there, Cliff, a while back with those good stations like I had up north. My dad helped me out with that.
Myself? No. I mean, I did help put a few up, stuff like that, but where I used to live before I got up this way, the only thing I ever had was had a 5-foot tripod on the roof and a, what was that? Solarcon Antron 99 up there on top of about 10 feet of mass pipe. Had a guy on it in place so it wouldn't flex too much. That was the highest I ever went on my own or anything like that. Put a few towers up, never had one myself.
Yeah, roger that. I tell you, the top of the good, you know, it reaches up at high in the sky, and as high as my tower was about 30 feet high, I made a lot of contacts. I mean, I got so much QSL cars, you could use those QSL cars as wallpaper there, Cliff.
Oh, that had to have been a sight. A wall just full of them.
I decided not to do that. I wouldn't do that. I'm not sure the people had put on the walls. But I bought picture albums and put in picture albums what I did. Do you ever have received, well, I don't know if your daddy getting you some kind of what you got, you know, and I'm in contact for that. Did you, got you a stock card yourself?
I don't have any paper ones, but I do have a handful of electronic ones, because one of the things that I do after I make a contact is QRZ, for example, I will log the contact in the logbook that they let me have there. And some of the people that I have contacted have responded.
Good, that's good. Yeah, that's the way to do that. They respond to you and confirm the contact, so that you so covered to confirm the contact. That's what it's all about in ham radio, you know. I got a bunch of in the mail, I mean, from places that I couldn't believe I made contact to. And HF and 6 meters and all that, so it's been a lot of fun all the years I've been a ham radio operator. I'm having fun even today to be on a radio. In fact, I just had to renew my license this year, and a very good friend of mine from church had done that for me. He had a hard time, but he got it going in that, and him and this other guy. And I'm glad he did, because I wouldn't know nothing about it to my knowledge. I mean, I would have messed up the size. I don't have a computer. Anyways, he got going, and I got my license now. It'll last me for another 10 years.
Connected to CMN Network.
And there you go. You don't have to worry about it for a while. For me, I don't have to worry about it for a while either. You know, I've got just about 9 years before this one runs out.
Good for both of us, anyways. But they're coming out like in certificates now, and you got a wallet size one, also one that you would have. It's a certificate. Also, you got one of it looks like your wallet size license, but it's a big. You put it in a little frame, you know, if you want it in a frame. That's how they do them now. And the certificate looks pretty nice, you know, how they put it out and all that. Then you write your name and down at the bottom of the certificate license. And when I just bought a frame, I framed it and put it on a wall by my state. It looked pretty nice.
Yeah, that's what I did with mine. I did that with both my AM ticket and my GMRS ticket. I got them both in frames hanging on the wall, you know, just in case the FCC comes knocking. Yeah, I got the little business card size one in my wallet, too, because, you know, I've got mobiles, and if they want, I got to be able to produce my license. So, there you go.
Very good. I had to go to one of those FedEx places where I could get them laminated. So it looked very nice, you know, in the water. I had laminated the one years ago when I first got my license, when I was a tech, and then I was a HF operator when I passed my Morse code back in the day years ago when I did. And that was how to do for it. Now you skip the code and I just go to the general, tech in general now. That's it. If I was a herd, that's what they do now. And I had to laminate it, you know, and it looked pretty nice after I did that, you know. Well, you had to go to FedEx to get that done, because I got the machine to do it with.
Yeah, did you know that you can do the lamination yourself at home these days, that they make home lamination machines, and they sell packets of pouches and whatnot for different size documents, stuff like that? And that's what I ended up doing. That's how I laminated mine, is I've got my own little home gadget for that.
That probably cost a lot of money for a lamination machine, wouldn't it, Cliff?
Nah, not these little home units. They're actually not a... Remember that big old black three-hole punch we used to see and use in school? Remember that thing? They're not much bigger than one of those, actually.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Although I haven't seen one yet, you know, like that, but you know what you're saying. Yeah, maybe one of these days I'll get one in a home here. Maybe my wife, me and my wife, we live in an apartment and don't have a home yet, but one of these days we will. And, yeah, that's a good idea. And if I invested in something like that, I think it'll not cost so much money, like you said. I will buy one, and levitate my license myself here then instead. But anyway, so what I use for the I use a Geico wire antenna for the HF. It's outside, but the light ladder line I have here, that's mostly the antenna for the HF. And anyways, that's what I use for the HF, and it's pretty nice when you can do it here, make contact from overseas on HF and stateside too, you know. But I think mostly the lab line is pretty much the antenna itself, you know.
W8CMN, repeater Flint.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You got me curious for a minute there on something else, going back, taking a couple steps back. You can get a decent home laminating machine these days for $50, and it usually comes with a number of pouches to go to.
Yeah, I should look that up and find out where I can, where would you usually buy something like that? You know, if you did get one laminating machine, if you wanted one.
You can go to Staples or Office Max or Office Depot. Any one of them will be carrying at least one model.
Okay. That's a good idea to go there and find out more about it and see what kind of machine it is. You know, if I like it, I might just buy it. Although, I have to let the wife know I am. You know how that is.
Yeah, I hear you on that one, Don. KFA-DBZ.
Put on my call sign, KGHCT-4IG. Yeah, I just buy so much stuff through the years there, Cliff. I tell you, I had to vent, you know, all the radios and the handhelds that I have and that. In fact, I got so much stuff at my mother-in-law's house, was up in the closet upstairs, and when my mom moved back down here in Michigan, my dad passed away, and she moved back down here in Detroit, and when my dad passed away, she sold the house, and the tower's still up there, though. It's still standing, I know that, as far as I know it is. But anyways, she moved back down here, my mom, my sister lives with my mom and that, you know, but, anyways, like if I did buy something like that, it would be nice for the apartment here, and I can laminate anything I want, any important papers, or anything that is really nice to have, like on your wall, by your station is always good. But then you got your power supplies that I bought through the years, and it's just something that adds on to what you like to have for the hobby, you know. It's something that you enjoy the best of what you know how to do. And I enjoy this again on the HF. I enjoy getting on 2 meters. I just enjoy the hobby altogether about being a ham radio operator. And a ham radio operator is a very interesting hobby to have. I didn't know nothing about this years ago until I walked to that radio shack and found more about it. More information about this salesman had told me about this radio, and I was very interested about it, and I just went about to took my test and passed, not the first time, but the second time. So after that, I passed my Boris Cohen, like I was saying earlier, and then I passed my general, so the flying cutter. So I was really happy about that, because, you know, you enhance something that you enjoy to do when you want to do better, or what you want to have more privileges on the radio. So that's what I did. So I studied hard to get there, and you did too. You studied hard to get there. Well, you're at 2 Cliff too, you know, KCA-CPT.
Oh yeah, I definitely did. I spent an entire month reading and rereading that book, and then I went on to QRZ.com. Because you take practice tests there for free, as many of them as you want. And then I literally spent like 3 or 4 months taking those practice tests like 5-6 times a night. And yeah, it took quite a bit. But then when I went in, go for my license, boom, I got it. Passed in on the first try.
good. That's good. That's wonderful. This good friend of mine, actually, he belongs to your secret club. He's a friend to everybody. And his name is Walt WBNA. He's a Sonic C now. I heard he passed away. He was such a nice guy. He did all the cooking and all that. He did a lot for that club. He really did. I had to compliment him how well a job he's done, what he did for that club with cooking, and did what he did to be committed to with that club and dedicated to how worker that he was, you know. Anyways, he highlighted everything that worked for me to read. And then I test myself by reading over again, and what he did is he highlighted all the ones I need to memorize before I get my test is what he did for me.
Yeah, Kevin, that's unfortunate. It's always sad when we lose one of those. KFADPZ.
Yeah, and, have you ever joined a club there, Cliff? I was just wondering if you ever joined a club, if you ever... Oh, you're in a club now, that's right. I think you said mention that you were.
Yeah, I applied for and joined the Macomb County Amateur Radio Public Service Corps. And so far, that's the only group of ham operators that I'm with.
Years ago, I was a coffee guy at the USC Club. I made coffee for everybody. And they gave me all of the stuff, equipment, and they ordered stuff for me, like creamers and the sugars and the filters and the coffee. And every month I go there and drag stuff out of the closet. This is back when I was single, years ago there, Cliff. And I go to the club there and make coffee for everybody. They gave me a big pot to make the coffee with. One day, years ago, of November. And they surprised me. They were going to the school. The Yosemite Club was going to the school at the school to use their auditorium or also gym that we went and had our meetings and all that when we did. Anyways, I always made coffee. Started day one when we went to the Elk Club. I started making coffee there, and then they moved to the places at the school, and then they went to the Elk Club. So they written this guy. They were in a room for the Elks Club for have our meetings every month when we did. So I started making coffee every month, you know. And it was really good because I really did something for the club, and I wanted to, and then I was committed to do it. And I felt pretty responsible, and the make sure the coffee was good. And I was hoping everybody liked the coffee I made for them. Anyways, at this school, they gave me this plaque. They said, it said my name, Don KCHCPT, the coffee guy, they call it, on this plaque they gave me.
That's pretty awesome. Do you still have it? Do you still have the plaque?
Yeah, it's adequate. It's hanging on the wall right now, in fact. I look at it every now and then.
That's cool. I like that. And anyways, Don, I gotta get ringing off. It's 12:45, and I gotta get up a little early tomorrow. And so does my lady. So, you know, it's getting time for me to go back out and get some Z's. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, as always. And I will say 73s and all the other good numbers to you, and I will be clear after your final.
It was nice talking to you too there, Cliff, and I hope to hear you on the Mecca repeat again on one other day or any kind of week. If I hear you out there, it'd be great to talk to have a conversation again there, Cliff. So God bless you, my friend, and good to hear you out there, and you take care.
KFADPZ, I'll be clear. KFADPZ.